If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
Because we compete not only with other musicians, but obviously all the forms of entertainment and so on. The market has definitely become more saturated than ever before.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Andrew Apanov. Andrew, let me give you a quick intro. He is the founder of Dotted Music and the host of the Music Growth Talks podcast. He brings over 20 years of music industry experience to the table. He's the former editor-in-chief of Ultimate Guitar. He's a seasoned growth marketer, helping artists and music companies thrive worldwide. In addition to that, he's also a speaker. He does live events, promotion. He's a DJ, a mentor. And so I'm excited to connect with him today and talk a little bit about online marketing for musicians. And you know, in this market, which, you know, more music than ever, in many ways, it's hard to cut through the noise. How do you actually share your music in a way that can reach the right people and build an audience? How do you grow? So, Andrew, thank you so much for taking time on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm super honored to chat with you. And let me know where we start.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to have you here. And in the place I usually start, just getting a little bit better of an understanding of your starting point, your story, and how you learned some of the insights that you're going to share on the podcast today.
Yeah, sure. It is very important to give some context to what I do and my background. I have been doing many things in music industry of the last 20 plus years. Like you mentioned, I started at Ultimate Guitar, which gave me a lot of experience and industry connections. I was there for 7 years as one of the first employees. It's now a huge company, it's now a part of a Muse group. At the same time, I was organizing live events, DJing. It was way, like, a long time ago. I don't DJ anymore, but I actually just started a live, I co-started a live techno band. I do modular, like, Eurorock synths and so on. So I got very much into music personally lately, but not DJing anymore. And I've been working with musicians, companies, and involved with conferences. I had a membership community for musicians called Wispy Inside at some point of time. I don't release any podcasts anymore right now. I released over 150 episodes of Music Growth Talks podcasts, so it's on hold for now. And for anyone who may recognize my name, they may have noticed that it's not been out there in the past 5 years, so I haven't been doing too much like public blogging or educational stuff. I've just been focusing on growing the agency, which is, you know, which exists for around 15 years now. And it's called Dotted Music. And we focus on helping musicians. And in the past few years, we started working with music tech companies a lot more. So audio, music AI, artist-friendly stuff, tools for musicians, physical instrument synthesizers, things of that nature. But we do still work with musicians, to be clear. So we still serve. So we are very much in a performance marketing area, and I can talk more about that in a bit. But we work with musicians, record labels, and so on, and music tech startups and companies.
Awesome. Cool. So having had 20 plus years of experience working with artists, and probably witnessing quite a few like different ups and downs, different waves of the music industry, I'm curious to hear from your perspective what you think some of the biggest problems or challenges are in the market right now for musicians or artists might be listening to this. What do you see as like some of the biggest problems that you've set out to solve with the agency?
The problems are pretty much the same as always, getting heard and breaking through the noise. I do see some patterns. So to me, I don't know, like I'm not that old, or like I haven't been doing this for so long, but still comparing to looking at the music marketing space in 2008, for example, there are some things that are quite similar to what's going on today in terms of the actual, not in terms of the platforms, everything has changed, of course, but in terms of the what it takes to make it in music. And what's fun is that the answer to that is often pretty much the same as before as well, not on the tactical level, because of course everything is different right now, but in terms of the mindset and approach to being recognized. But the problems are, yes, so generally it's not monetization, it's getting really an audience and getting heard and finding the right place, the right audience, because we compete not only with other musicians, but obviously all the forms of entertainment and so on. The market has definitely become more saturated than ever before. And I guess it's basically, I don't know, it's a weird answer to that question, which is good, but to me, it's like the problems are pretty much the same, and I guess as they were some 40, 50 years ago as well. How to build an audience.
Good stuff. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is that the platforms have changed and tactically kind of like the situation changed, but if you actually look at the pattern, the underlying fundamentals, it's actually, I think it's exactly the same. It's about building an audience, connecting with people. Okay.
Connecting with people is key here. I really, maybe we'll chat a bit more about that as well, but it's really like music is all about networking, connecting, building relationships, communities. It's really like very human first, not technology algorithm first.
Absolutely. Cool. So with that in mind, I'm curious what you found, because obviously it's always changing. It's constantly like moving around, but for you right now with your agency and the artists you're working with, any particular strategies or, let me pull myself back. So before we get into the specific tactics, which I think are really powerful and I'd like to go there, maybe you can speak first to addressing that fundamental of like, okay, if the problem is like connecting through like building an audience from a fundamental level, you know, what are some mindset shifts or what do artists need to do to actually, in order to fundamentally make that happen and build that connection?
Understanding that you cannot, you as an artist talking to an artist right now, cannot do it alone. So building a team, and it's not about, you know, hiring an agency like ours. It's often, on the contrary, finding people who are ready to help you out for free, building a team. And these days it's even more, it's pretty much this as important as it's ever been, but because all these different platforms and tools and so on, they require so much time that it's completely just impossible to do it all on your own. You can automate a lot of things, and you can do something on your own with the right knowledge. But so you need a team. You need to understand that it's like learning to market yourself is like learning to play an instrument. You need to be open and accept the failures and mistakes, just as you know when you're starting to play an instrument. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time and practice and a lot of testing and experimentation. So being consistent and deliberate in trying things out and finding what works for you specifically in terms of the message, the medium, the platform, it's just like trying a lot of things out and seeing what works for you, because everyone is different. And there is a lot of negativity and complaints about the industry and just overall I'm missing the word here, but just being too critical of what's going on, it's not exactly helpful. There are totally reasons to be really upset with what's going on in the industry and on social media right now. But it's something that I see across all the artists that succeed, is that they are being open to making things work in whatever environment they have, in whatever industry they are in. They are making music right now, not 10 years ago. It doesn't really help to, remember the old good times. It helps when you are young and you don't remember the good old times, of course. But, I hope it answers. I know we're still in the kind of very philosophical vague kind of territory, but I hope it's still somewhat useful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's super helpful. Like, I think that this is really like what matters, because it's the fundamental thing that doesn't necessarily change. And it's going to serve, you know, anyone that's listening for, you know, long, like in the music industry, but also like across in general. But what I'm hearing you say is that one of the most fundamental things is around mindset and how you approach what's happening. And you have a willingness to like show up and try things. You have a learner's mindset where you're not trying to get everything perfect, but you're just actually like showing up and trying things and seeing what's working, what's not. And that adaptability, especially when things are changing so quickly, is the number one thing to focus on, is building the resiliency, building the right mindset so you can be adaptable, and that you show up and it's going to change based on you and your situation and how things are evolving around. But as long as you do that, that's maybe the best way to actually thrive.
Yeah. And just to add to that, it's also, you cannot allow yourself to be too stubborn, because sometimes, I know that what we're talking about is applicable to anything in life and not just music marketing, but you don't want to be stubborn and just stick to doing something that doesn't work because you think that it will be. Some years ago, I had this round of speaking at conferences and doing some like more educational stuff that I do now. I was trying to promote the idea of a growth hacking in the context of music marketing, taking it from the tech world and applying it to music. And it didn't stick too well necessarily, but some of the specific tactics did. But I still do think that having this mindset of collecting feedback early on what you do, even musically, in terms of like the sound and the content that you put out, like short form video content or whatnot, and being flexible with your creations and maybe getting others involved in the process. So being really like not separating yourself is important. It's a very delicate subject, because as an artist, as a creator, is a true like created an artist. I mean, and not just content creator, which is not too dismiss that, but creating a solid piece of art, like an album, for example, may require solitude and just being in your mind and your zone and not getting outside world affect that. I respect and understand that. I've read so many books and watched documentaries about creators and so on. It's really different. Artists have different approaches to that. But the world to interfere with what you do may help you grow. Otherwise, if you just sit on something for too long and don't get it out, you may be disappointed if it's not perceived the way you thought it would be, which I think is related kind of to the topic a little bit. Yeah.
Mm. Good stuff. Yeah, I love starting with the fundamentals because, yeah, that's kind of like the foundation through which you build your house. And if you have a solid foundation, then when a storm comes, yeah, your house is going to come crumbling down. So I do think that what you just shared is really important.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of folks do, including myself, find it very helpful to have examples of like what's working right now on the ground. Like what's, you know, at the time recording this, you know, there's different tactics and things, but sometimes like, you know, there are strategies that are working right now and tactics that plug into. So I'm curious, right now at the time of recording this, are there any specific strategies or things that you see that are working for artists in order to be able to cut through the noise and connect with their audience?
How granular can we go? Like super specific and tactical is fine, right?
Yeah, I would say it's as tactical as you want to get.
Okay. Because for the context, there is like one type of service that we do, which is pretty much the same, has been the same conceptually over the years, and it's performance. Like we really like running ads for music, meta ads. It can be Google as well. And this is, of course, what we do for music tech. For our tech clients, a lot more where it's proper performance, where we're bringing like, you know, subscriptions, revenue for sales and so on. With musicians, it's a bit more difficult trying to grow an audience on Instagram or Spotify and all that stuff. But it's not exactly what, like, I can talk about that. And there are some ways to make it work, and it does work. You want to know some ins and outs. That's why you may want to hire someone or complete a course about the topic. So we can talk about that. What excites me a lot is, I work with a limited amount of artists right now where I'm actively involved, but it's more about me, it's like an R&D, the way I see it, and learning new stuff from working with interesting young artists who have some traction and following already, and where they are very open to experimenting, and where I can test new things as well. So this is what is on my mind right now. So I'm thinking, when you ask about specific tactics, I'm thinking about something super specific, repurposing your content that you have from any kind of live shows, for example, and testing short form video content on Instagram Reels, on TikTok, on Shorts, using the new feature as we are recording this. It's a relatively new feature even for some of our artists. Had access to it for quite some time with running trial reels. You can repost the same reel as a trial when it's shown only to new audience, and if it's performing well, you just repost it, and every time it can be going viral. It probably will not work in several months the way it does right now. It happens all the time. A platform introduces a feature that works really well. It's like a cool hack, and then it stops working because, well, the algorithms change and so on. But being on top of all the like interesting trends, and so we've got the artist who is, this is something from literally today, there are different audiences in Europe, in the US, in Latin America, with multiple languages involved. And what we just learned, and we from someone, from a marketer, but actually something that we see as well, is that releasing videos where we don't have any voiceover of an artist talking on the video, but having some text captions and just the music in the background performs better, because the platform Meta in this case will know that it's not just for people who speak English, for example. So we'll reach more people if we don't include any voiceovers. These little things like that, we experimented with some like fan CRM tools, just signed up with co-brands. I love what these guys do, where you can collect a lot of information across different platforms, but in a really effective way. And you can do text marketing and do drops. So tools, I'm kind of skeptical of the wave of super fan tools. And obviously it's only relevant to bigger artists anyway. But I'm not in the camp of recommending to put a paywall behind your best. I've been one of the first users of Patreon, and I interviewed Jack Conti, and I really love the platform, for example, and lots of, like, some of my clients use it still. But I'm not necessarily the person who these days recommends locking content, your best content only to paying super fans kind of thing. So I'm not going to give too many recommendations there. I'm seeing a lot more interesting things happening with WhatsApp communities, with Discord communities for super fans. For super fans, I'm trying not to even use the word super fan, it's trying to get people involved and not treat them as fans, but invite them in small form communities. This is what we're doing with, this is what one of my artists, it wasn't my idea, is doing with WhatsApp communities, for example, WhatsApp groups. It's not even, doesn't have to be a community. It can be a group where, well, similar to Discord, where everyone is communicating. But again, you don't want to push Discord to an audience that doesn't use Discord normally on a day-to-day life. If they use WhatsApp, use WhatsApp. The problem with Patreon, which I just mentioned, is just as an example. I see no engagement on most of the posts there because people maybe subscribe and paying you through the platform. They use it to support an artist or a podcaster or a YouTube creator, but they may not be spending much time on that platform. So we're constantly trying to see how to capture contact information of our people. It can be a phone number, an email address, an Instagram handle for automatic DMs. We've used Lila for that as well. There is all these boards, like ManyChats. So it's a lot of, I don't even like, it's more, we can talk about specific tools, and I mentioned a few, but it's more about this crazy, almost chaotic experimentation, but having a fundamental system where you can capture this, like, contact information, for example, and data, and work with that. But you constantly experiment with different things. So you want to capture new audiences with short form content, for example. And again, if you have an event, if you have any kind of live performance, music video show, even if it, like, five people showed up, you want to get as much content from there as possible, photos, videos, and repurpose it for different platforms, repost it with different captions, just trying to get as much as possible from it, all while continuing to build this funnel from just reaching strangers with videos that you hope to go somewhat viral, or running paid ads to promote some of them, to capturing those who are interested for one-on-one conversations. You don't want to start a community too early on when there is no community just yet, but just giving a lot of attention. And these days, it's a lot about using some tools unconventionally, and sending out behind the scenes video through WeTransfer link to people on your email list or things like that. So it's also something that, like, quite a trend that I'm seeing artists trying to bypass. I'm not sure what to bypass exactly, but trying to reach their audience in a way that they may not be expecting necessarily. So that's, anyway, I would need you to stop me and ask something more specific, because I can go on for hours like that. Yeah, just let me.
Oh man, it's great. Yeah, there's so much gold there. I think the first thing that kind of stood out to me was coming back to the fundamentals that we were just talking about, is like, what I heard you say is that, you know, this is a constantly, like, evolving landscape, where when there's a new feature that comes out, often these platforms, now they want to prioritize that new feature. And so now that works really good for a period of time. And then it's like, it moves on to something else. So there's like this, often there's like a new thing that comes out. And so maybe the lesson to learn is, it's sort of like we're like surfers in the ocean, and there's always going to be new waves. Mm-hmm. And like, we have to learn how to catch the wave. And the nature of the wave is that it comes and it goes, but like, we can learn how to read the wave, learn how to swim along with it. But really a big part is the practice of like being adaptable, resilient, catching the wave as it's happening. So I really liked that point that you made around just like how things are changing and you have to stay on top of it. One thing that I want to point to, and also you may or may not know this, but, about a week from now, we're launching our software as a service platform. which is essentially a CRM platform that is meant to take on platforms like Patreon and Facebook groups and Discord, but to give fans more direct or artists more direct access to their fans and to be able to do things like it's like a Shopify meets Patreon meets Discord. But I think the thing that I really appreciate about what you just said, and I think a good lesson, and maybe again, I'm like biased, but this, you know, lends itself nicely to what we're building for artists, is that you want to be careful about locking away your best content so that, you know, not everyone gets to see it. But that's maybe like a trap with something like Patreon or membership, where if mm-hmm. you have like a paying like group, but then like they're the only ones that get your best content, you're losing a lot of the benefit of sharing your best content with everyone. And so, you know, you want to create a platform where you can connect with as many people as possible, and then doing unconventional things to build a community that you own, and not relying on a platform that you don't own, is one of the main takeaways I got as well. So you want to have a fun, you want to be able to capture that contact data, yeah. so that if there's a MySpace situation and a platform dies, you still own that audience that you built.
Yes. It is super cool that you were working on that. I didn't know exactly, but yeah, sorry for my ignorance. I'm excited about that. When I mentioned that, I hope you could hear that I'm not opposed to community first platforms. When I was saying that I'm not a fan of the super fan apps, there is just, to me, it's like, I think that some of the companies get it wrong, or when it's more focused on a few A-list stars who can do anything they want, and they will collect a huge amount of followers on anything. Like, they will start a Google Doc and people will join them and be leaving comments, which wouldn't be a bad idea, to be honest, actually. I need to write it up. But so it's absolutely great that you're doing something like that, because a lot of the existing platforms, even if they people have been using them for a long time, they're not adapted to the needs of modern musician. And there is a problem with Discord and Patreon and so on. So this is great. You just don't want to, I have a problem with exclusivity when you just kill everything. It's the same idea as with not getting your music out on DSPs, even for it's a, let's not get into that topic. I understand why artists pull their music from Spotify and so on. But I do believe that you want to be present on the platforms that work for you. Also, to be very clear, so this is something that I've been always cautious about when working with artists, educating musicians. I don't push one specific strategy on everyone, because short form videos that I'm talking about, it doesn't work for most of the artists I work with. They hate that, and they really are not authentic when they make videos. So I will be the first to ask them not to do it, or adapt the strategy with like video content. So you have to. So it's another kind of topic which we don't maybe want to go into now. But in short, you want to be to find what works for you in terms of how exactly communicate, and it will involve some uncomfortable moves and trying, maybe learning how to perform on camera, and maybe you will find that it works really well for you if you learn a few tricks, but. It's but back to what you mentioned. Yeah, just as long as it's not exclusive as the only platform for, because you still want to be elsewhere, you don't even need all that much exclusive content, because people need to have a different incentive to join a community of an artist they like. It's about being recognized by an artist. It's the value is in being noticed, really, and then bringing value back and supporting you. When a listener pays you $1, it's the sign that they are the fan. They are showing you as an artist that they see you, that they notice you, and you coming back to them with a simple comment, anything. It can be much smaller than you even imagine. Just showing them any kind of appreciation is all they need. It's just, it doesn't have to be a constant DMing kind of situation. You really, it's a beautiful dance. I really like that. And yeah, so having a great, good platform for that is important, but it's not like you need to stop doing, sharing your life on Instagram stories, even for it's available for free to everyone. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is that often a trap is the exclusivity of sharing like your best content, but not actually sharing it in these channels where it's going to reach as many people as possible, especially when it's so saturated right now. It's so hard to cut through. If you're trying to save your best stuff and you're not even telling people about it, then it's like it's going to be hard to even get people there in the first place. So maybe instead, what you'd recommend is more like leading with your best content, giving it out for free, using platforms like Spotify and Instagram, and then maybe flipping it around. So it's actually the people who are in your inner circle that appreciate more of the raw, like not necessarily your quote unquote most polished, high quality stuff, but it's actually just like more you, it's more connecting with you. And so flipping that around is a better, you know, maybe a better approach.
Yeah. And again, it's always about experimentation as well, because I've seen different scenarios in terms of what exactly is being shared. And sometimes it's really just nurturing a community and letting people talk. You don't even need to. So I've seen so much resistance in that because of the pressure that an artist feels in terms of how much extra content they will need to be making for that platform. The reality, and Patreon is being a popular platform, is a good example. There are so many creators who have not been delivering for months and have felt really bad about that, but the supporters have been there. Someone canceled subscription not because the artist doesn't release anything usually. The reasons are different, but it's not that. If someone really likes what you do, they will keep supporting you even if you just, you know, go over the grid for a few months. I just also want to remind everyone that it does require there may be like a playbook, best practices, and you really want to educate yourself on that, but you will want to find your own balance in it all. It just will be a bit different for everyone, which is obvious if you think about that, but it's maybe not always. Like, you don't have to do everything exactly like everyone else. You will have your own way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be kind of a boring world if everyone was literally the exact same, doing the exact same things to all people. It'd be like a song where instead of playing a harmony chord, it's just like all the same note.
We cannot live in the world like that. We need variety.
That's good. That's a pretty good analogy, isn't it? Like, you know, you want to have the harmony notes. So like often, you know, you come together and you can collaborate and you do something unique and it resonates when it's together.
Yeah.
You get the right progression. Ooh, now you're talking.
No, absolutely. No, it's very musical. And I really do see it like that. It's very, this world of marketing and promoting yourself is very creative. And all these analogies make a lot of sense. And if it's not fun for you, then you may want to adapt how you do it and how you approach it and the mindsets and so on, because it can be frustrating, but isn't like touring or making music frustrating at times. So it's just as any creative endeavor, you can certainly make it a fun process to build this audience and to spread the word about your art and so on.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Andrew, man, this has been a lot of fun, and I appreciate both the kind of the zoomed out approach and be able to go deep on the fundamentals and the things that don't change, but also just getting your perspective as someone that clearly is working with a lot of artists on the ground as an agency. So appreciate the conversation. And for anyone that is listening to this right now and they're interested in connecting more with you or learning more about the agency and how to get in contact, what would be the best way for them to reach out?
It's agency.dotatmusic.com. The website, there is a form that you can fill out. Anyone can find me on Instagram as Meta Andrew. I'm always happy to hear. It will help if you mention that where you came from and how you heard about me. That's all.
Cool. Fantastic. And I guess for anyone that's listening or watching this right now, who would you say is sort of like your ideal client that you like to work with? Or who's the best fit? Who do you see getting the best results? And who's just has, you know, it's the best connection?
I really am thinking about very specific verticals in the world of audio and music technology in terms of artists. We are not even looking to, we're being quite selective these days. So I guess, yeah, someone with a bit of traction, a bit of a following, a bit of a foundation and the mindset who wants to get on the next level. Because we work with, our services make sense for a very particular segment of artists. So if we are talking about musicians and not music technology companies, then someone not just starting out, but ready to grow their brand to something bigger and have a budget. Unfortunately, I have to mention that because in our case, like I can help with an advice, but we do need the marketing budget to execute on what we do best.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely makes sense. All right. Well, Andrew, thanks again for being on the podcast. It was a lot of fun talking today.
Thank you so much. It was fun. I hope it was useful. Thank you.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.